So we're going to begin this morning by talking about two needs that all of us have. No one in this room is absent from these needs. They're critical to us. And hopefully by the end of the morning, you'll understand through what I share with you and what you discuss around your tables that will make sense to you. But I want to make one thing clear when we talk about needs. There's a need that we all need, absolutely. That need is our Lord Jesus Christ. If we didn't have Christ in our lives, then none of this really will apply. So as we talk about that, keep that in your mind. So I'm not saying Jesus Christ isn't a need. Absolutely. He's foundational to our lives. And we want to talk about two that come out of his word and that come out of who God is that I think will make sense to us as we move through. There's a little exercise as we think about these needs that we don't have time to do this morning, but I would encourage you to go home, get out your search engine on your computer or on your phone, or dig through your Bibles and go through the New Testament and look for all the one another's that are in the New Testament. And if you dig long enough, you'll find 59 one another's in the New Testament that apply directly to you and me. And so that's kind of the basis of these needs, and I'll hopefully unpack that as we go through, but just keep that in mind that there's these 59 one another's. And someone has said that the primary activity of the church is one anothering with one another. You've already been doing that this morning. That individual goes on to say that when everyone is sitting in rows, we cannot do one anothering. And if you'd been here last year and you still remember, I preached on the whole idea of that circles are better than rows. Because it's in the context of a circle where we can one another at our best. So keep that in mind as we move through these needs. So if you have a Bible, I put a couple Bibles on your tables, or you have your own Bible, you pull out your phone or your iPad or whatever you do to search out through the scriptures, and you're going to turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to go back to the beginning of the scriptures that will help us to understand the first need that we all have in common. You're going to go to verse 26 and 27 of chapter 1. And I'm going to read out of the New International Version. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. What I want us to focus on is some pronouns in this passage of scripture. What do you find in the pronouns of God? We find us. We find our. It's plural, isn't it? These are plural pronouns that lead us to the first need that we have in our lives that come directly from the throne room or God himself. Us and our tell us that God himself was in community, was he not? Otherwise, why would he say us and our? God was in relationship with himself, was he not? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when God created man, he created with that same sense of community or relationship. And what that tells us, that each one of us, just like God needed belonging in the sense of the Trinity, we all have a deep sense need of belonging in our lives. We need each other to fulfill what is empty in our lives when it is absent. So God said, "Let us make man in our image." In other words, he's saying, we're created by God with a sense of longing to belong. We need to be recognized by people, and we need to recognize other people. When that is not fulfilled, you think about this. When our belonging or that sense of need for belonging is not fulfilled, we go out and we search all over the place to find that need met. So if you go to restaurants, you're going to find people gathered around tables with a host of laughter and conversation and closeness by people who are mingling around a restaurant table and sharing a meal together that creates a sense of belonging. People will gather in lounges and in bars, but believe me, it's not all about drink. I can testify that because before I became a Christian, I spent a lot of time in lounges, in bars, and it wasn't all because of the drink I was trying to consume. There was a sense of camaraderie that happens in lounges and bars around tables. Now, I'm not condoning going to a bar and to a lounge to create belonging, because we're going to find that here. But people will do that. You will find people gathering at barbecues, around campfires, in homes and in parks. You will find people who will join clubs and gangs for a sense of belonging. And if you study the history of gangs, you'll find a lot of people who join gangs is because they grew up isolated. There was a need within their lives where they needed a place to actually hang out and to be recognized and to recognize and to belong. Even social media, it's amazing how we use that to try and create a sense of belonging. So I can say I've got hundreds of friends on Facebook. Some of them I've never met in my life. That does not meet my sense of belonging one bit. But we'll strive for that. You think if you go into a prison or you go into a prisoner of war camp, what's the one thing that a warden or a soldier will do to punish you? They'll put you in isolation. They will separate you from the rest. And if you want to understand that, there's a great book, In the Presence of My Enemies. It's an old book by Howard Rutledge. And Howard Rutledge was a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. And when his plane crashed, he was taken into captivity. And he describes his time in what he called the Hanoi Hilton Heartbreak Hotel. And what they did is they put him in a 6x6 cell. And he said he had to fight from going crazy, breathing in stale, rotten air all by himself. Isolation. And that's there because we have this deep longing to be with other people. I remember in my life when Brant was about 2 years old, and I was working for a company that was expanding their ministry, their business, and they wanted me to go to this little town called Balcony. And in Balcony, they were starting to manufacture tent trailers for motorcycles. And so I had been working with them and doing other things because of my auto body background. They sent me down there to help them set this manufacturing up. And I remember being down there for a week and sitting at a table in a restaurant all by myself and watching other young families come in and have their meal. And all I wanted to do was weep. Why? Because I missed my wife, and I missed my son, and I felt absolutely alone. And I watched other people hang around those tables in a sense of belonging, and I had nowhere to belong except an empty hotel room. We're created for belonging. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God says this: "It is not good for man to be alone." We were made to belong to others. And so Adam needed a companion to fulfill that emptiness within his heart, within his life. He needed somewhere to belong. He needed someone to be in community with. He needed a place to say, "I belong here." God recognized that. So God gave him all the animals of the kingdom. No companion was found there. So God calls this deep sleep to fall over Adam. And he takes out a rib and he creates woman. And I think it's fair to say, right, guys, that Adam would have been very pleased. He had a companion. He had some place to belong. So with that, let's flip over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. We won't read that passage per se, but just have that open in case when your table discussions move, you may want to refer back to that. But in Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, we find the parable of a prodigal son. And I'm assuming you've heard this preached many different ways, many different times. But as I read it over, I felt the Lord saying, here's a snapshot of the need of belonging. So what we find in this parable is what happens when we don't take the sense of belonging seriously. So in essence, what the son is saying to his father, I cannot wait for you to die to get my inheritance. So since you're not going to die today or tomorrow or anytime soon, give me my inheritance now. So the father complies, he gives inheritance to both his sons, and he goes off and he finds out firsthand what belonging is all about and how belonging works and doesn't work. You see, once all the money is dried up, there's no more parties, there's no more money to feed whatever they were doing. All of a sudden, the prodigal finds himself that no one really cares for him. He really doesn't have any place where he belongs anymore. You know, even feeding pigs, he doesn't find that sense of belonging that he needs. So you think about that and what led him home. Was it not that he had this truly deep need to go back to the Father, even to be a servant, just so he could belong somewhere where someone would pay attention to him? He needed that sense of security of a family, and the father needed it too. You see, there was something missing in the father's life when his son left. Because it says in there that while he was a long way off, his father saw him. And what that tells me is that the father had this deep sense of emptiness in his life for a son that was no longer in the family. It tells us that he kept his front porch light on every night because he had this longing and anticipation and hope that my son will return home. It tells that he was not going to give up waiting and watching for what was missing. The reality with the son, you see, he thought nothing about people's needs. We read of a son who was all about himself, all selfish, all caught up in who he was and what he wanted. So I'd like to just help us to think that through a little bit because we're talking about life groups this morning. So I want you to think about sometimes when we'll say this, maybe we've all said it, if we're honest. I don't need to go to church today. I don't need to go to life group tonight. You've said it. I know you have. I know you have. I know that because I've said it myself. You pause and think about that for a minute. You may think that you don't need to go, But have we ever stopped to think that maybe somebody in church or somebody in your life group needs you to be there for them? It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about us. And I can say this with complete confidence that every one of us as pastors anticipate mornings like this because we need you. We long to be in fellowship with you. And we know that's the same with you when we worship together. The reality is, belonging is something that we need to apply to one another's. A life group is essential for each of us to make sure that there are other people in our lives that we are meeting their needs. But I don't think we can fully obey the one another's in the New Testament if we're not in a small group. Not from the perspective of the family of God. We need to be in a small group where we can love one another, care for one another, be at peace with one another, etc. So let's go back to the Father. The Father celebrated when His Son came home because what was lost has now been restored. And that's the same with us. We all need that place to belong, and when we don't have it, there's a sense of lostness. We can go away on vacation, but I tell you, this summer when I was gone for 4 weeks, there's a sense of longing by the third week. I got to get back to my church because you're family. This is where I belong, and I need you. And when it's not there, we long for it. We can get that on a Sunday morning, but I'll go back to Andy Stanley's statement when he says, when everyone is sitting in rows, you can't do one another's. So we need that context of life groups or a small group. Lyle Schaller, in his research, says this. Listen closely. 1/3 to 1/2 of all Protestant church members do not feel a sense of belonging to the congregation in which they are members. That saddens my heart deeply. To think there might be some of you here today that don't feel that you don't, or feel that you feel you don't belong here. Think of 1/3 to 1/2 of Protestant congregational members don't feel a sense of belonging. Do you know why that is? They're not in a life group. They're not sitting around and around couches, living rooms, tables, and being together. Tara Takiya says this, community is deeply grounded in the nature of God. Community flows from who God is because He is community. He created community. It is His gift to Himself and to humans. Therefore, she says, the making of community may not be regarded as optional decisions for us as Christians. God would say being together is a command, not an option. It is compelling and an irrevocable necessity, a binding divine nature for all believers, all times. We read it from the book of Acts. We read it through revivals, and we read it today in our own lives. We all need to belong. So what we're going to do with that is I'm going to turn it back to your table leaders. So whatever table you're at, you'll have a table leader or two. And they have a package labeled package number one. And they're going to pop open that package, and there's some questions in there. They're going to walk you through in regards to this sense of this deep need to belong. So we're going to take 15 minutes. I'm going to put on my timer on my cell phone. And in 15 minutes, I'm going to bring us back. So table leaders, you may not get through all the questions. Don't worry about that. But get conversation going as quick as you can. And if you have a scribe at your table, there's some papers on the table with a pen. And if someone can simply capture some of the thoughts that you think might be important for us as pastors to hear, they're going to be anonymous. We won't know who is saying them. It's just ways that you can communicate back to us about the sense of belonging and in particular life groups. So have at it. I'm going to set the timer, and I'll call you back in 15 minutes.